Well, praise the Lord, church.
Amen.
Welcome, everybody. And some faces I haven't seen in a while. Well, thank you, Jesus, for everybody being here this morning. I know I missed last week, but I had a tooth pulled. I had to have that taken care of. I had a surgery done on my mouth, and it was nice, but it was a little uncomfortable when I got home. Anyway, the first couple of messages I did this month, we talked about learning. Talk about trying to find out things and learn things about the Bible, learn things about God, so that we could be better Christians. And so today, my last message of this month is, what do we do with all that learning? Well, we share. That's our job. As Christians, each and every one of you has a job. You know, everybody already knows that the pastors have a job and the teachers have a job and all of that, but everybody who sits in the congregation has a job too. And their job is to share. Okay, and so this morning, before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, humbly we come before you and we give you thanks for this beautiful day. Thank you for this opportunity to come together in fellowship one with another so that we can study your word and learn to be better workers for you in the field. So today, as I speak and as I teach this morning, Lord, please let the words that come forth from my mouth be your words and not mine, so that everyone can be amplify it and everybody can learn how to share better and why they should share. So these things we ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Scripture today is going to be found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 17. If everybody could turn there, please, we'll read that first. We'll get that all set up. 1 Peter chapter 3. A lot of things we talk about in the New Testament talk about sharing and talk about our job as Christians and the things that we should be doing and the places we should be going and what we need to do in order to be better workers in the field for the Lord. Jesus came and he gave us that great commission, tells everybody to go out and to serve him and go out to the corners of the earth, and he always tells us that we'll never be alone. And that's the one thing that we always have to remember, because a lot of us have reservations about sharing. A lot of us don't want to share because we're afraid. You know, we think that, gee, you know, what if they ask me a question? Well, you don't have to have all the answers. To be perfectly honest with you, I don't have all the answers. I'm still learning. I learn every day. And every time I read the Bible, every time I open the book, and every time I study to give a lesson, every time I study on my own or listen to a program, I'm learning. And I tell you, there's a whole lot of stuff out there to learn. And so we should take the time to do that, because time is coming. It's getting short. The Lord is on his way, and we need to be ready. So has everybody got it?
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 8. I'll read the first, you read the second. We'll go all the way down to verse 17, okay? Here we go. Verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as a brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that they falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, let's see what we have here. Okay, verse 8. Finally, you know, and as it comes down to it, we come down to what we really need to be doing, okay? This is the the definitive word from God. Finally, be ye of one mind. And I spelled that wrong. One mind. Okay? Everybody who studies the Word of God should be on the same page. Okay? There are lots and lots and lots of different preachers out there who say lots and lots and lots of different things. But if you listen to the message carefully, you'll find out everybody's saying the same thing. They're just saying that in their own way, because a lot of times people need different ways to understand. You know, people need to, are touched in different ways. People listen and hear in different ways. So you need to be of one mind. Okay, we all need to be thinking of the same thing. We all need to be using the same reference. Okay, there's only one Word of God, and that's the Bible. Okay, and everybody says, well, you know, the Bible, it's so different because, you know, there's all these versions of the Bible. But if you read all the different versions, and sometimes it's a good idea to cross-reference between versions, because they use different words, all they've done is make it easier to understand. You know, old guys like me, I can do King James, all right? I mean, that's weird stuff about stuff that, because the way I learned English in school many years ago. You know, I can do the King James okay, but some people just can't handle the these and thous and those of the King James. So you need to go to something like the New International Version or the American Standard or one of those nice versions that uses easier words. But they all say the same thing. If you take a look at the Word of God, it is the only book that is over 2,000 years old that another edition has never come out for. They've got different translations, but there's never been a second edition to the Bible. It's always been just the Bible, just the way that it is. And when they translated it into English and they printed it so that we could all have it and we could share it and we could learn it, it stayed the same. And the Bible continues to say the same. And then the Bible tells us that the Word will always be the same. It always has been, it always is, and it always will be the same. So you need to be of one mind, studying the same thing. Having compassion one for another. In other words, we need to care about each other. That's all compassion is. Compassion is caring. Okay? We need to have feelings for each other. Yeah, sometimes it's hard. I mean, I know there's people in my life that I've had a really hard time having compassion for. But God says, gotta do it. Yeah, so every once in a while, you got to stand up, swallow a little bit of pride, take a few steps backward, take a deep breath, say, okay, I can do this, and move forward. But you have to do it with compassion, with love for one another. Love as brethren. In other words, brothers and sisters. Hey, now, I have a brother. I only have one, but one was enough when I was growing up. I know a lot of you have more brothers and sisters. And I don't know if it's easier to love each other when you have more brothers and sisters or it's harder. I know I had a hard enough time with one brother. You know, sometimes it just ain't that easy. But he's still my brother. He's the only one I got. And I thank God that he and I are, you know, on good terms and we're talking and we're sharing with one another now because he is, we're the last of the guys, man. He had girls, so there aren't any more warners coming on his side. I fortunately have some sons, so got some warners coming on my side, so that's going to help, you know, continue the family. So, but you have to love his brethren, brothers and sisters. You're not always going to see eye to eye, but may you always see heart to heart. Okay? Be pitiful. Now, that doesn't mean go around hanging your head, okay? Acting, oh, sorry me. That means have compassion and pity on other people, okay? Don't, you know, it's not for you to be, oh, you know, poor me kind of stuff. This is, you know, you direct yourself toward other people. And be courteous. It is not hard to be courteous, even to your enemies, okay? Why, you know, you hold door. You ever hold a door at a supermarket and everybody in the world walks through? That's just the way it is, you know. But it's being courteous. I can remember when Carlene and I first got together, One of the things I always like to do, and I probably should get back into doing it, is I used to like to open the door for her mother and Auntie Terry, and they would actually run to the door first so they could get to the door so I couldn't open it for them. I mean, they thought I was kind of weird doing that. But I like to hold doors open. I like to do things like that because it's nice, you know, and it's nice. And you can be courteous to even your enemies. In fact, it's kind of wild to, you know, be courteous to your enemies, because the reaction you get from them as they look at you as they walk by, so why is this guy doing this for me? You know, what's up? How come it's like this? Well, this is why, right here, because this is the way we're supposed to treat other people. It's in the book. Okay. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Okay? This is not time to get back at people. This is not the way it's supposed to be done. Okay. Yeah, I can recall having the attitude back in the day when I was younger. You know, somebody do something to me and say, oh, yeah, just trying to think of ways to get back at them. You know? But that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Was it the thing that they say all the time? What do two wrongs make? Do they make a right? No, they don't make a right. So if they did wrong and you do wrong, that's two wrongs. You're still on the wrong track. That's two strikes. One more and you're out. Okay? So don't render evil for evil or railing for railing. And the second one, railing for railing, that's like arguing. You know? You know how hard it is not to argue? Well, we gotta try. We gotta try not to argue. We shouldn't. So, you know, people start yelling at us, we keep start yelling back, and it, you know, just gets, you know, worse and worse and worse. We gotta figure out a way not to do that. It's hard. I can't do it yet. I'm still working on that. That's one of my faults, and I'm working really hard on that. But it's something that we all have to work on. Okay? Try not to trade railing for railing. Try to figure out a way to calm the situation down and have it come out better. It says, because it goes on to say, but contrariwise, blessing. Okay? Hard when somebody's yelling at you, it's just for you to say, well, you know, God bless you. Amen to that, right? Hard. But, you know, the Bible tells us that if we are nice to our enemies, it's like throwing hot coals on their heads. You know, in Proverbs it tells us, you know, it says, there's a scripture, I can't remember exactly which one it is though, but it says, I am the Lord and I, you know, don't take vengeance, I am the Lord and I'll take the vengeance for you. You know, he'll handle it, he will handle it. So be kind to your enemies, because if you're kind to them, what's going to happen is it's going to be on top of them like hot coals. They're not going to be able to understand it. Just the niceness that you're going to give to them, they're going to have a really hard time with. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, which means that that's what we're called to do. To bless one another. Not to curse one another, not to do evil to one another, but we're called to bless one another. That's our job. Okay? It's one of the two hardest jobs in the world, because I got to think of one that's harder than that, but I can't think of one offhand. But it's got to be one of the two hardest jobs in the world, to always be a blessing to other people. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. If ever you've ever tried blessing someone, and you've done it, you've succeeded in being a blessing to someone, haven't you ever noticed the blessings that come back to you? Sometimes they come as small things, sometimes they come as big things. Sometimes it's just that really good feeling that you have inside that, hey, I did something good. I did something right. And the Lord is satisfied. And He will give you that comfortable and warm feeling that you've done something good, because you've inherited that blessing. You've done something right. For he that will love life and see good days, if that's the way attitude we have, we love life and we have good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. We have control over what comes out of our mouths. We really do. Sometimes we don't think we do, but we actually do. We have control over what comes out of our mouths. And we need to exercise that control. We need to think about that. We can change the way we talk. And I've had this conversation with my sons many times. I said, why do you guys talk that way? So, well, that's the way we talk. I said, well, you can change. So, no, we all talk like that. That's how we understand each other. I said, yeah, but look what it's doing to you guys. You know? Look at the mess you guys are making. Think of your children. You know, you wonder why your children talk that way? Guess why? You know, where do they learn that from? They didn't learn it all in school. That's for sure. Most of the time what they learn from home. Okay? But if you love life, if you love your life, if you love living, if you love sharing, if you love being with other people, then you got to watch what you say. You know? Some people say, well, you know, we talk the way because it's joking and fun and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, I don't care how joking and fun it seems, after a while it starts to hurt. You know? You can keep saying so many bad things to one another thinking that it's a joke, but after a while, it hurts. It really does. And I try to tell my sons this all the time in their relationship when they talk to their other halves. You know, you guys talk nasty to each other, man. You talk mean, you talk nasty, they just talk nasty back here, but that's the way we talk. Yeah, but look at what it's doing to you guys. You guys are angry at each other all the time. Why? You got to learn to talk nicer to each other. You got to learn to have some better conversations. You got to learn how not to always call each other names and stupid or whatever you guys call each other, because that's working against you. Because it hurts after a while. It builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And the next thing you know, it just, you know, gosh, this is really nasty. Why always have to listen to this stuff? And it's true. I mean, it happens. You know, so we can control what comes out of our mouth. We just have to do it. Now, a lot of people say, well, I just talk, you know, it just comes out. Well, there's another thing that they say about engaging your brain before you let your tongue work. If we would engage our brain, let our brain start to think about the things that are coming out of our mouth, maybe we would be able to control the things that come out. Yeah. And our hearts. We need to have good hearts. Because what do they say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay. So what are our hearts doing? What's in our hearts? Is there a love of life and good days in our hearts? What do we have inside? Whatever you want to have inside. That's right. That's right. Because we choose to have what we have inside. We choose to have good or bad or, you know, whatever we have. We choose to have that. And we react on that and we live on that. And what comes out of our mouth is based on that. That's just kind of the way it is. Well, we got to control that. We got to think that we need to be better in what we talk about. Now, let them eschew evil. Now, I had to look this word up because it's one of those weird words. Okay? This means to really put evil down. Okay? To eschew something, it means to consider it and to do everything you humanly possibly can to get rid of it. So that's what the skew means. It says, so in our lives, if we want to get rid of the evil, if we want to talk better, we have to get rid of the evil. Evil does not go away. Okay? We have to get rid of it. We have to choose not to have it. And so people say, well, you know, if I get rid of all this evil, then I'll be empty. Well, there's an answer for that. If you don't want to be empty, fill it with something else. Guess what we have? We got the Word of God. If you can take the Word of God and you start feeding yourself with the Word of God. Remember the story about the two animals on the inside of each and every one of us? We got one animal that's vicious and one animal that's calm. You know, which one survives? Yeah, the one that we feed the most. And Jonah said it right. The one that we feed the most is the one that's going to survive and get stronger. So if we keep feeding our evil side, then it's always going to be evil. But if we start feeding the good side, and what do we feed it with? Oh, we feed it with prayer. We feed it with
love.
We feed it with God's Word. And if we do that, then that side of us is going to be stronger. And if that side becomes stronger, then the other things are just going to fall into place automatically. Can't help it. It just happens that way. It says, eschew evil and do good. So let him seek peace and ensue it. Ensue it means that if you get rid of the evil and you start doing good, naturally right after that is going to come peace. Can't help it. It works that way 100% of the time. And we can do it. We can make that happen. But we have to do it. You know? It's not just, we're not going to get up one morning and the switch in our body is going to switch from evil to good. You know? We have to prepare ourselves for it. We have to teach ourselves. We have to learn. We have to get ourselves ready for it. We have to have the tools to fight it. And the tools to fight it come out of God's Word. You know, my generation, and I have to say this because my generation is the source of many, many of the problems of this world today. I grew up in a generation in high school, I can remember saying, I'm not going to be hard on my kids like my parents are hard on me. I'm going to let them have their way. Boy, did we raise a generation of monsters. And then there was a group that said, religion? No, I'm not going to force religion on my children. I'm just going to let them, I'm not going to take them to church, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to wait for them to grow up and they can choose what they want to do. Well, they grew up and we let them choose, but how are they going to make a decision? They've got an empty toolbox there. They have nothing. They don't know who God is. They don't know where God is. They don't know what church is. They don't know what worship is. They don't know what prayer is. They don't even know that God exists. And how are they going to make a decision? All they see is the evil in the world. And that's what they follow, because that's what they see. So it's important that from young time, we start training our children, right? The Bible tells us, train up a child when they're young, when they grow old, they'll always remember. Yes, they're going to slip away. Yes, they're going to wander off. Yes, they're going to go do their own things. Sometimes you just got to let them. They got to see. They got to see for themselves. They have to experiment. They have to try. They have to see what happens. And after they see what happens, if we've trained them up, they're going to think, wow, there is a better way. I can remember when I was a kid, there was a better way. And they're going to come back. They're going to come back to the Lord. The nation of Israel is a perfect example of that. Look at how many times the nation of Israel has been captured. Look how many times the nation of Israel has been overrun and run afoul, and the people were all enslaved, and for years, for hundreds of years, they were in slavery. And then they started to think, you know, we had it better at some other time in our history, and they'd look back and they say, well, when we were worshiping, when we were favoring God, when we were doing the things we were supposed to do according to the Bible, we had life pretty good. And they started doing that again, and pretty soon, they let them come back. And in 1948, in May of 1948, the people went back to Israel and they occupied the land. God said it was going to be theirs and they went back and they occupied it. And it's theirs again. So things in the Bible are coming true. But you got to do this. You got to eschew evil and seek peace and do good. Okay? For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. and he hear, his ears are open to their prayers. Okay? Eyes of the Lord are on the right. He's watching us. He's watching over us. He's not just kind of, I always used to think God was this, you know, image in the sky who was always looking at you, waiting to stomp on you if you did something wrong. A lot of people still think that. A lot of people think God is this monster in the sky, and if you're bad, he's just waiting for an opportunity to stomp on you. That's why I stayed out of church for so long, because I was sure the building was going to fall on my head if I ever went inside.
But never, right?
Never fall on my head. No, I went to church one day and it was all right. In fact, I found so much love and compassion and friendship in the church that I decided to stay. And that's what we got to get people to do. The Lord, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. When we pray, God hears. He really does. He hears every single prayer. He really does. Every single prayer. And he answers every single prayer in his own time. But he answers. And we always have to remember, no is an answer. It's not always yes. Remember, God is not the big grandpa in the sky who you can always get something from. Okay? God is more like the father in the sky who trains you and disciplines you. But his ears are open and he hears every prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now think about that, the way that this is written for a minute. Okay? We talk about eyes and ears of the Lord listening to the good people. But the face of the Lord, you know, when someone is angry, that's what you see, the face. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I mean, God comes right down and looks them square in the eyes. And I think that's to give them an opportunity to decide whether or not God is real. Because that's the only way you figure it out. If you can see it, if you can sense it, if you can feel it, that's why, you know, those who have a conscience, those who have studied, those who know the Word of God, when they do something wrong, they feel bad. Now, believe it or not, and you know, people have a hard time with this, but there are going to be people in hell. We don't want anybody there. God doesn't want anybody there, but people are going to wind up there because they don't listen. Because they have chosen not to accept this. If you live in righteousness, if you pay attention, if you study, if you have the desire, if you look to God, if you pray, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven. If you don't, you're not going to heaven. That's why it's so important to have this relationship. That's why it's so important to believe and to understand who God is. Because you want his eyes and his ears seeing you and hearing your prayers. You don't want him against you. I mean, if there's ever anybody that you didn't want to have against you, it would be God. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Did you ever think about that? I mean, if you're always doing good, who can be against you, right? Who's ever going to come up against you if you're always on the good side? Right? Can't say much more about that. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye? And some people have a difficult time with this, because when we start talking about suffering for the Lord's sake, we have to remember what Jesus actually told his disciples. He told his disciples, you follow me, you're going to have a hard time in your life. One of the fallacies that I see when people decide that they want to, you know, just en masse convert people to Christianity to bring them in to follow the Lord, is they don't follow up. You know, they get in front of them and they give this fantastic story, a message about how their lives will be changed and everything will be different and things will be great and wonderful. The Bible doesn't say that necessarily. The Bible says that if you accept the Lord, you're going to be persecuted. Jesus himself said that. Okay? And what this means is you're not, nothing in the Bible says he's putting a big hand down, taking you out of your troubles and putting you in a nice green field somewhere where everything is nice and rosy. The Bible does tell us, though, that when you accept the Lord Jesus into your heart, you better put on your armor, because you have just entered the fight for your life. Jesus, the devil, didn't care as long as you were a sinner. But the minute you accept Jesus into your life, now he's mad. And he is going to come against you in every single way that he can to try to get you to come back to him. Okay? Being a Christian is not an easy way of life. It's not. We need to be honest with people about that. Being a Christian means that you are now in a fight for your life, because if you want to get into heaven, you have to win this battle. This is the biggest battle you're ever going to face. And you have to do it. You have to accept it. You have to get fed all the time. You have to learn more about it so that you can be a better warrior for the Lord. You have to put on that armor every single day. In the Bible, it tells us to put on the armor of God. Doesn't ever say take it off. Okay, it says put it on. Accept it. Be ready for the battle. And the way to be ready for the battle is to learn about God's Word. Like we talked in the messages earlier this month, you have to learn who Jesus is. You have to learn what he did for us. We have to learn and accept. And it's so easy to accept. We have a hard time accepting things we don't really see or know about, because it happened so many years ago and we can't figure it out. You say, well, you know, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. You know, you pick up the Bible. The Bible is 2,000 years old. And people say, well, you know, the Bible is really old. It doesn't apply anymore. Sure, it does. 2,000 years ago, people were people. They had the same problems 2,000 years ago we have today. They had money problems. They had work problems. They had relationship problems. And we still got them today. It's the same problems. Just different. We just got more technology today. That's the only difference. But it's the same problems. So the Bible is still relevant. We can't say the Bible is out of date. So if you suffer for righteousness' sake, if the devil is picking on you, you should be happy. Because the more he picks on you, the closer you are to God. And you know you're getting there. So be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't worry about it. You got to remember, you're up against a defeated enemy. Okay? The Bible doesn't say beat up the devil. The Bible says resist the devil, and he must flee. Not that he might, but that he must flee. Okay. So we don't have to worry about it. We're fighting a one battle, and all we got to do is maintain. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Let him come in and take residence. Accept him. Let him be with you. Okay? And be ready always, and this is the key to this whole message today, be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. People look at us and they see something different. They really do. If you're living like you're supposed to be, if you're doing the things you're supposed to, even if you're trying to do these things. Now, we're not all perfect. We all make mistakes. We all sin each and every day. We all do stupid things, even me. Anybody who ever stands up in front of you and tells you that they're perfect is lying to you, and you shouldn't believe them. I'm a sinner. The only way I can do this job is to be a sinner, because I'm redeemed. I haven't made perfection yet. I make mistakes each and every day. I'm a real person, but Jesus is in my life because I put him there. And because of that, I have a hope. I have a different light that shines in me, and people see this, and people will ask you about it because they want to know what's different about you. When you start acting differently, when you start praying, when you start asking, saying different things, when your conversation changes, when the words that come out of your mouth changes, people are going to notice, and they're going to want to know why, and you have to be ready to give a reason. And that reason can simply be, hey, accepted the Lord into my life. And they can look at you and say, what does that mean exactly? Now, this does not mean that you have to be able to quote Scripture, okay? So don't worry about having to carry your King James around with you and telling people what the Bible says. All you have to do is just say what the Lord has done for you, how you let him in, how your life has changed since that's happened. Talk about you. Tell people what happened to you, because that's the only story you can tell. But you have to do it with meekness and fear. In other words, you don't want to cram it down their throats. Okay? You want to be gentle with them. You want to tell them the story. You want to give them an opportunity to accept and listen and hear and change because they want to change. I mean, that's why God made us and gave us a discerning mind, so that we could choose to follow him. And so when you're sharing, share gently. Okay? You don't have to make them believe right there on the spot. All you have to do is plant a seed. The Bible tells us over and over again that some people plant seeds. Some people water those seeds. Other people harvest those seeds. But we all have a different job. If you're fortunate enough to do all three, then God bless you. But it's not going to happen all the time with everybody. You have to be able to understand it, what your particular job is at this particular time. Are you a planter, a waterer, or a harvester? And you can be different things at different times, but it's going to work that way for you. But you have to do it gently. While you're doing it, you have to have a good conscience, okay? In other words, your mind has to be in a right place. You have to be thinking of the right thing. Because whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, okay, people who are evil are going to say bad things about you. No two ways about it. That's just the way life is. If they don't like you, they're going to say bad things about you. But, and years and years went by when my wife and I first got together. She would, say things, well, this and that, and, what about these people? I said, look, as long as you and I know the truth, who cares? Okay. As long as you know the truth, who cares? Let them say what they want. Because when it all comes out in the wash, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your good conversation in Christ. And they're going to be the ones that are going to have the egg on their face. Because they're the ones that are going to find out, hey, I tried to do all this and it backfired on me. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Wouldn't you like to be rewarded for good instead of punished for bad? Everybody wants that. And as we think about it, as we do the things that we're supposed to do, as we think about the things that are in this message, as we think about the things that we've talked about up to this time, just think about it. You know, it's better to be punished for doing the right thing than for doing the wrong thing. Punishment for doing the wrong thing is eternal. Let me tell you that. Okay? Punishment for doing the right thing is also eternal. It's a different address. It's unfortunate that this past week one of the great men of God went home to be with glory. Okay? There's a quote that Billy Graham had. He says, one day he says, you're going to read that Billy Graham died. He says, don't believe it. I'll be more alive then than I ever have been. I'll just have changed my address. As we think about our futures, as we think about the lives that we live, as we think about where we're going to be going, that's the kind of attitude that we need to have. We need to be looking ahead, knowing that it's better to suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity today to come together in fellowship with one another and to learn your word. Lord, we just ask that these words come into our hearts and our minds and be a part of everything that we do each and every day. And Lord, as we continue, we just ask that your blessings be upon us as we leave this place, as we go forward throughout the week, and as we live our lives and work our jobs and go to our schools and do whatever it is we do until we come again. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face shine upon each and every one of you and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.